Hello and welcome to the Global Product Management Talk Lean Specs series. This is session number 11 and we are pleased to have Anka Mashoyu joining us. She is the founder of Techliminal. She is a software engineer, web developer, tech master. I'm Cindy F. Solomon, your host with the Global Product Management Talk. You can follow me at Cindy F. Solomon and Startup Product Academy at startupproduct.com. Also, Malcolm Knapp is here with us.
Yes, I'm Malcolm Knapp. I'm the founder of the Engineer Accelerator. It's a professional training program for hardware engineers who are looking to make the transition into industry. It helps give them the skills they need to be effective in their career. You can now follow me on Facebook, Engineer Accelerator. So you can just search on that and you can find me there. And also at engineeraccelerator.com.
Okay.
So welcome, Anka.
Hi there.
And so you can just tell us your background.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little bit more about my background. I'm a software engineer by training, so I learned how to develop software by writing specs and validating specs and doing all kinds of different processes that were popular in the early to mid to late 90s. And since then, I've also developed a bunch of websites and web applications, which have different kinds of software implications and constraints, as well as mobile. I've done work as an information architect, helping people sort out their data. And I've been having a conversation with Malcolm for over a year about this concept of the lean spec and what it means in hardware versus software. And so I'm super excited to follow up with this. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter at Anka, A-N-C-A, or you can follow Techliminal, Techliminal, like subliminal, on Twitter or Facebook. And yeah. I guess that's all I'll say about that.
So what we're basically doing is I'm very interested to see sort of so I can understand more about the sort of software web domain. Mm-hmm. You know, my background is hardware, of course. And so that's what I'm interested in talking with you, with Anka about, is to sort of see the sort of situations you deal with and also to see where the lean spec sort of could help or to sort of where would it fit in. And so I guess the first question is actually the one you brought up earlier before we is about scope. So software is huge. So and there's lots of different processes within that. So do you want to just sort of narrow things down a little bit? Do you want to talk to like website or what do you want to do?
Well, I think I want to talk a little bit about the different types of things people use software for and the kinds of things that become programmer projects.
Yeah.
So there's the software in a box, which right now it's not really a box, but it's downloadable. So you take your thing and you package it up and you put it out there and like millions of people download it and they use it. That's a fairly well-contained kind of thing. There's software that people develop so that I can go to your website and register for your course, which is more of a service-based kind of tool. There are big
plugins, sort of thing.
Something software that automates a process. So it's not like the shopping cart is not the product. The shopping cart is a means for a transaction.
I see.
And so it's a little bit different than,
For the user, it's a little bit different.
It's for the user, it's a little bit different. For the person who installs the software, it's a little bit different. For the person who produces that as a product, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. There's situations where large organizations build software for single use because they're trying to automate their process. There are websites where people build software to manage some aspect of the website, so content or images or videos or online courses and things like that. So Airbnb is software, but it's also hundreds of different things that they look at as internal products. And so when we talk about lean spec for software, it is sort of like trying to talk about the moon lander being at the same level of complexity as a little flashing LED thing you get as a prize at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah. Part of this is about handling this complexity. I mean, part of the thing is even very simple products or software is quite complex, you know. And so what we're trying to do with a lean spec is give people a way of looking at complex products in a way that makes it sort of simplifies their process.
Yes.
So I guess the starting point, though, I want to sort of step back and get some sort of really high-level stuff out of the way. And the first question is, in any of these with any project, you know, where you're doing something, sort of one thing, basically, do you believe that if you just, at the end of it, you know, all the information that you needed to implement that product or that project, I think that that's a finite amount. But do you agree with that? Is there a finite, you personally may not know it all, but it can bound it at some point.
Well, I think it depends on the type of product we're talking about. So if we're saying that we're going to build an iPhone app that's going to be delivered for iOS 10 and above, and it's going to be delivered on iPads and iPhones, that level of constraint is really, really good.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you're being asked to build a software solution, like, for example, if you're saying, we're going to build a new way for our company to, a new type of transaction engine. Mm-hmm. So we're going to collect money from our customers in a different way, and you're a very large organization. By the time you actually get halfway through the project, the scenario and the constraints may have changed. The company may have acquired a different company. Mm-hmm. So... I think that you have to sort of look at the boundaries of the project to understand whether it's possible to understand everything you need before you can start.
That's not the question.
Okay.
That's not the question. The question is, at the end.
Yes, at the end.
At the end of the project, there is a finite set of information associated with that project.
Well, that's technically true.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's all I need to know. I mean,
is another way of framing it, are you asking, is there a done in software?
Well, no.
Because it occurs to me, in hardware, there is a done.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it depends.
Yeah.
No, because even with hardware, there isn't necessarily a done if you're, going to make a rev of it. Like, the iPhone is not done.
Mm. But that version that gets launched is done.
That's true, yeah. So, and for some software, that used to be true for most software when you had to put it in a box and ship it
on
a CD.
A CD, right.
But now that's not necessarily true. So like Airbnb, for example, they have a product that's a particular button that appears somewhere on their website. There's a team that works with that button, and they launch that button, and they something happens, and then they have to tweak that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not building an end product to ship and put in a box. They're kind of building a service that they have to kind of respond to customer demand.
Mm.
So they're shifting their process and their software on a schedule.
Mm.
They still they don't just sort of release all the code and hope it works. They have a process for testing and everything.
Yeah.
But software kind of very quickly expands to fill all available ability to get data in and out of it. So... In that sense, you never know exactly how it's going to work if you're depending on anything outside of your system.
Well, but so for me, I say yes. There's an edge, and one of the things that you talk about in the lean spec is the interfaces that you have, and the idea is that those interfaces can be defined. You can know what information is what information is passing to the outside.
Yes.
You can't know what's on the outside, but you can say, I'm going to get this information from the outside and put this other set back out to the world,
That's true. So the smaller product that we're talking about, the easier that is to define.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Yes.
So, and again, the bigger the product is, everything gets, complexity scales exponentially.
Yes.
So,
yes. So
there is, okay, but again, to come back to it, is that there's this idea that at any given, when you're doing one sprint or one little release or whatever it is, what you're basically doing, there's a sort of bound. There is a bound to that.
So the bound to is it done in many ways in software is highly subjective.
Mm.
So there are some things that you can say, does it pass these tests?
Yeah.
But then when you look at it, is it like, is it good enough, or do we go again?
Well, so yeah, so well that, but that's the thing. So for me, is that there is this rev question.
Yes.
And
yes.
At the moment, that there's, you can sort of say, do we try again? Again, it's sort of like, I think we're sort of converging on this sort of, is I think the key thing about this is that you can, there's sort of the representation of that information. I think about information space, basically, mm-hmm. like it's a volume, and that represents all the information associated with that project. And you...
At that one particular moment.
Yeah, and the thing is that things can change, mm-hmm. and the space changes its shape over time, you know, grows and shrinks and so forth. But the idea is that there's sort of an edge to that space. So then the next question is, within that space, there's this thing about, I think that with the lean spec, it's about, is in the information organized hierarchically, as in, are there dependencies within the information? In, like, you know, hardware, for example, the shape of the board is dependent on the shape of the case or the enclosure, you know. And so... there's sort of hierarchy, basically.
So those are... that's interesting. The constraints are a little bit different, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that some things are hierarchical. Mm. So, like, if you think about the sets of behaviors that the product must be able to do there, you can probably create a hierarchy or at least a path to navigate through that. Sometimes the data that you store is going to be hierarchical. Sometimes it's going to be relational.
Mm-hmm.
But
for example,
The way that people break this down into hierarchies is sort of dependent on different types of software development methodologies.
Mm-hmm.
So most of those are focused around like user actions,
mm-hmm.
or activities that,
mm-hmm.
like the transition of data from one place to another, or
mm-hmm.
the transformation of that, or the movement of digital assets from point A to point B. So usually in software, people start from, what are people going to do with this software?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they start with, what's the data that we need to store, but that's
mm-hmm.
a very sort of different kind of,
mm-hmm.
of software than most apps or things like that. So the constraints are based on
mm-hmm.
what type of, like, software you use, like what programming
mm-hmm.
language, whether
mm-hmm.
you...
So the choice of programming language,
well, that's just
is
like,
a higher level decision than the specific line of code you write, for example.
Yes. Yeah, well, once you make that decision, like, other things, like, change, like, that you've removed certain possibilities and added other possibilities.
Exactly. And so that's the
mm-hmm.
key thing that I was thinking,
yeah,
is that
yeah.
there is a dependency tree, and it's, you know, or the sort of, like, there are dependencies
mm-hmm.
within that, and they're multidimensional, like all this sort of stuff. You know, the interfaces you're dealing with, like, now it's all interfaces to other services, and each of those interfaces, they have an API, or they have their thing,
mm-hmm.
and you're constrained by that, basically, or you're dependent. What you do is dependent on what you can do.
Yeah, like if you're going to make an iPhone
yeah.
app, you're going to use certain developer tools, and you're going to use one of the two languages
and,
you can
you
use
know.
For that. So
now the question from then is, if you're thinking about the highest sort of level of information, the top of the tree,
mm-hmm.
and the top of the sort of field or whatever you want to call it, what is at that level for software? And this is exactly
the top.
So that's the thing, is that the lean spec is designed to capture that top layer, basically.
Well, what's the top layer
hardware
example?
Well, so, I mean, one of the biggest things, of course, is, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, what are the behaviors you're trying to do? I mean, this is you were talking
mm-hmm,
about, like,
mm-hmm.
what, you know, how should the product behave? If someone presses this button, what happens, you know? That is a sort of a top level.
That's not necessarily
mm-hmm.
the top level when it comes to software.
Yeah, and so that could be the case. And so the next thing I want
mm-hmm.
to sort of get at is about the lean spec. It's about when you're actually building something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is not about the, you know, it's like you want to actually start building it, so that's why it gets down into sort of a bit more defined level, I would say. Then, I mean, you're talking about sort of that you can go higher than that. You can say, well, what does the user want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. It's a higher level, but for me, there are many different products that can meet that need.
Sure.
And so part of what the Lean Spec is about is figuring out which product are you making to meet the need of that the user has, or the customer has, or the client has.
Well, so in terms of software, so you can write a very detailed spec for something that is sufficiently simple. Once you've simplified your process down to, when a user pushes this button, this API call is going to be made, and I'm going to look at this data, I'm going to compare it with this other data, I'm going to send back a yes or a no, and then I'm going to display that to the user. That sort of like the, in some cases, like the last thing that you wind up designing, because it's, you can take that and then write a test, like a approvable success test against
that's great.
It. But to arrive at that, there's a lot of like churn and a lot of like, there are building prototypes, there's testing. So the process of getting to the lean spec in software is the part that is the hard part.
Well, and so that this is the interesting thing is that so you say that there is a moment where you actually say, I want this sequence of events to happen.
Yes.
For me, I'm dealing with the hardware side that there is a complexity thing. So I'm very interested in this thing about when you get up to higher levels of complexity, there is this question about there is this thing about what happens above that level for you. So what's above that, in the projects that you have, for example?
Well, so what's above that sort of like, go write this code to do this exact thing that can be tested? There's a bunch of, you distill the intent. So the intent of the user, the intent of the system you're designing. You think about some of the like the consequences. So like if we put this data here, it's going to maybe have some performance issues, but the benefit is that then we can do this other thing with it. So you can, before you really commit to software, and that's one of the really great things about it, is that like, oh, I broke my web page, let me just deploy another one. You don't like, ship it off to somebody where 3 weeks later you get 1,000 of them and you it's one pixel off. Oh my god.
Yes.
So thank goodness we don't have to ship it all off on
ship
a
off
CD or any of that stuff anymore. So the level of commitment that people have to their software is like very different. Just like the way that we describe what we're talking about here. Like a lot of what like the way that you describe the lean spec in some ways, you make these decisions and then you write a bunch of specs and it comes together, and then it you build it. With software, the time it takes to write a bunch of specs is frequently longer than the time for some important thing about how the business works to change. So a lot of the development work, in the 1900s, 1990s.
Almost the
same.
You
know, we had this thing called the Rational Unified Process, which was a software development process that was designed for sending a man to the moon. And when you send a man to the moon or whatever, you have to worry about things that will be a problem like years from now. And it can take years to make the software because you don't really want to send a bunch of rockets. Although right now what's happening is we're just sending a bunch of Falcon 9 rockets and, they're tweaking and they're trying to do a more lean version of this whole process. So we've been kind of taking, trying to move the decisions as far, as close to the last minute as possible. And so, you might decide.
So that's great. So the thing is that, again, what the lean spec is about figuring out what you're making.
Yes.
And part of the issue you're running into is that the thing you're making, the speed of change of the thing you're making, that's also changing really rapidly in software.
Yes.
And so your target is always shifting, basically.
Yeah. So your target is shifting, and so you can't put so much infrastructure in place that making decisions takes too long.
Yeah.
And so that's the key to the lean spec also.
So this is the thing I would say about what the goal of lean spec is to speed up these decisions.
Yes.
I mean, it's to help these decisions happen. Because when you're filling this out, the idea is that the unknowns come to the surface and you have to say, well, what are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
So there is this, you mentioned this thing about, you know, performance, for example.
Yes.
Performance implications.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain, so I guess the question is that maybe the lines of code are not the right level or even this thing, but there are certain sort of, again, high level architectural decisions and sort of this question of the intent of the
mm-hmm.
user. And how do you start translating that into something that could be built? You know.
Well, so the Agile process
kind
of tries to build this as a snowball.
Yeah.
So you think of like the first thing that needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
and you build that, and
then
you test it, you refine it, then you build the next thing, and so
mm-hmm.
on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, you have
mm-hmm.
you have a thing that functions, and throughout the whole process, your thing has always functioned,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, if you're testing. If you're testing user logins or if you're
mm-hmm.
testing something, people, as soon as you build your first little element,
mm-hmm.
you've got your customer, your product manager, whatever, working with this tool,
mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really happen with hardware, which means that, you know, people have to imagine a lot more about how it's going to feel
mm-hmm.
for longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you say, well, we're going to build a system where people have to log in,
mm-hmm.
You create the system that people have to log in, your customer logs in, or your product person logs in, and then they realize, oh, I forgot my password. Well, I need a forgot password functionality
mm-hmm.
to work.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really common problem with people who want to build their own things from scratch. They don't
mm-hmm.
think about all the things that come for free. So you might choose like a framework that has that built in. So
mm-hmm.
then instead of like reinventing all of these things,
mm-hmm.
you say, well, you know, their forgot password functionality works well enough, so we're going to use this framework to manage
mm-hmm.
the login process. And so then you take the framework, you build your thing,
mm-hmm.
your user logs in, all of the other parts work the way they think that they should.
Mm-hmm.
So the things about software that are really interesting is that there's so many pieces and parts and components that
mm-hmm.
you can reuse from different places, whether
yeah.
it's a software library or a
mm-hmm.
development framework
mm-hmm.
or you know, some code you copy off of GitHub
mm-hmm.
Or plugins or,
mm-hmm.
or stuff like that. So you can also kind of spin your wheels sometimes too much trying to find the solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But
so is it part of it is that basically is that there have been the solutions just exist and you just have to find them?
Oh, well, no. They exist
mm-hmm.
in theory.
Okay.
So in practice, like how your thing works is going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, you know, every business is a
mm-hmm.
little bit different unless they're a franchise.
Yeah.
But the lean spec isn't defining how it's built.
Oh, the lean, well, sure. It well,
or how
yes,
it's coded.
Yes, yes.
Necessarily. It's everything up to that point. How are we defining what this product is prior to it being coded or built?
Well, see, I think that there's also the definition of what this product is to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because a spec for a developer has very different usability than that same spec for someone who doesn't understand how to read it. So
mm-hmm.
if you take a spec and you give it to your CEO, they will not be able to come up with the product that you envisioned before you wrote that spec.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
and that's what I wanted to ask you in terms of what your specs are. What do they look like? And what do they, are they for the engineers to build? Or
it depends.
Developers?
It depends on who like needs to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes like part of building a product involves generating a bunch of content,
mm-hmm.
writing words, creating pictures, videos, whatever. You might write a spec for how that's created. That's going to be very different
mm-hmm.
from writing a spec for somebody to program something
mm-hmm.
or for the person who has to man the booth at the thing where the
mm-hmm.
software runs to support the process. So
yeah.
A lot of the time,
well,
like specs are contextual based on who gets them.
Yeah.
Right. So the lean spec is meant to be a cross-functional to have everyone understand and contribute and own various pieces of it, but it's the map of the full product so that the product can be managed through all its phases,
mm-hmm.
but prior to development.
Yeah. So I guess this is the question. This
mm-hmm.
is the question, it seems, is that there is this thing about what software allows you to do.
Yep.
is to do both two things. You can delay decision making, and you can be very empirical about it. You can just sort of say, does it work or not?
Sometimes.
Okay.
For some things.
And so that's the thing that I guess is where we make a distinction is that there is for the things that can be just done empirically,
mm-hmm.
That's what you do.
You make it
and you're done, and then you see if it works, and if it doesn't work. But the part again, the thing about Lean Spec is about doing your sort of a prototype in your mind effectively,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's like, you know, your brain can model anything, you know, and so
sure.
take advantage of that fact. So I guess the question is, so you say if it's not done, so we can sort of say all the stuff that's being done empirically, that doesn't apply. So what cannot be done empirically?
So suppose that you want to, things that can't be done empirically are things where there's opinion involved, or you have to run the test before you know what the results could be.
But that's empirically.
Because like what you do, like the way that I'm thinking about it is
that's like being the testing is empirical, you know, like.
Well, you're doing A/B testing or something, so you
yeah.
design two different versions of something, you put it out there, half the people use one version, half the people use the other, and then your end product uses the one that was most successful, or things get combined out of it.
Yeah.
But the thing with software is that sometimes when you're doing that, like, your product is actually working all around it.
Mm.
So, like, when Facebook tests something in their algorithm or Twitter, like, they might show one feature to, like, 50% of their users, and then based on you know, how that 50% interacts
mm-hmm.
with this thing,
yeah.
they deploy it to other users.
Okay.
So somewhere in there, there's a spec for each of those things that say, okay, this version of this button should be this many pixels tall,
mm-hmm.
and when you click it, it should have this behavior, and
mm-hmm.
it should respond this quickly, and da-da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, which one actually works is dependent on people actually responding to it. So...
Yeah, but so I guess the thing is that, you know, if we're talking about modeling part of a system or, you know, the next little feature or whatever.
Yes.
What I'm trying to do is figure out, again, that's an empirical test. You know, you've written up something and
yes.
you see if both
yes.
work. And
yes.
So then, as you say, there's a spec for both of those. But there's also, I mean, getting into these questions about part of what you're trying to sort of see is the interaction between the various different domains and, you know, I was saying that, you know, the user experience is sort of a gestalt of
mm-hmm.
the sort of the design and the code and for software and then for hardware it's also
mm-hmm.
the you know, hardware and mechanical and all sorts of stuff like that. Sort of it's a sort of all the things together. And so what we're trying to do is trying to get an idea about what that would look like, you know, as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And also to see what how these things interact, because part of what happens is you have these silos of people who are doing their own stuff and have their own expertise.
Sure.
And when they try and put the stuff together, it doesn't. There's design conflicts within that. So again, I'll ask about, you know, there's the stuff you can test and have data about,
mm-hmm.
or you can just sort of see what worked and what didn't or what was missing. And then there's sort of stuff that you said you cannot. You have to. Is there anything that you sort of model in that sort of way? And sort of, you know, I'm going to simulate this or try and figure out how this is all going to work before I actually code it up.
Well, I mean, you could do like paper prototypes
mm-hmm.
or
but no,
it's those
what,
kinds of
what
things.
Topics,
but
not the technique,
mm-hmm.
but what are the topics that you would do that in software or in web?
Well, it could be anything. Well, yeah. So part of actually doing
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
these tests and like modeling and mocking things up is part of arriving at the final product, but
mm-hmm.
it's not a spec necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in software, like, specs kind of have a bad name because they used to be this thing that like was obsolete as soon as you finished writing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so
we call them product requirements documents.
Well, that's different from a spec. A requirements
okay.
document is
What's
different from a spec.
Right.
A requirements document says we wanted to do it this way, and a spec says we're gonna do it this way. But sometimes like that, and that's where like this whole break happens between intent and execution,
mm.
where the person with the intent is not the person who actually deals with the execution, and so it gets gnarly. So, you know, there's a bunch of different tools for like business people to write tests for software, which I don't know. A lot of them are just terrible because they expect the business person to think like a developer, which is only possible when that person comes from a development background and they're missing out a bunch of other stuff.
And I just want to underline that.
Yeah.
That's actually the whole purpose of developing this lean spec is to create that understanding between engineers and non-engineers, because that's where the whole breakdown is.
Part of this thing is what we were thinking about is that the product manager can be the bridge. They're like looking at both sides, and they may not have full knowledge on both sides, but they can do this translation. And so so that, I guess, is sort of, again, I'm trying to sort of focus in on this because, so what are the things, like, you know, that are not just, that you can, not just coding up and testing something empirically. What are those things that you do in your, with your clients? Because you have to translate their, what they want, into code eventually, or into something that can be built eventually. And so where does that switch start happening?
It's context dependent. So again, like, I'll go back to the way that you set up your team and the environment is going to affect what you have to produce and how it's interpreted. So if you have on the one end of the scale, you have this really high performing team that's worked really well together, and they understand their thought process, and they have people who, you know, talk at different parts of the process, and then you can write something like, make it do this, like one sentence, and the person who gets that sentence looks at it and says, oh, I'm pretty sure they mean da da da, and they build it, and then that happens. Other situations where teams haven't figured out how to communicate, or the expectation setting isn't being passed back and forth, wind up in these situations where you want to write down as much as possible to cover your ass.
What we're getting at is a slightly different situation. Is that those two different situations, and the issue is that basically this translation process that you're talking about, of translating an intent of the client or the user into code, is basically what you're saying is it's team dependent.
So
what I think we're trying to do with a lean spec is to say, well, is there a process that's a bit more that can be applied more consistently? Because one of the biggest things about this is about, if you think about communication systems is that there's all this error checking and making sure that, you know, that the message got through and was understood correctly. The question is there, from what I've seen, is that there's very little of that in any sort of consistent way within teams of engineers. People speak and they say, what I said was understood perfectly, automatic, you know, and so there's no need to check to make sure.
Well, and a lot of engineers, when they talk, assume that the other person, if they don't understand it, is because they're stupid, not because they said it wrong.
The thing about it is that what the lean spec is trying to do is to reflect back to the team what people are saying. What are we building? Why we, you know, what, and that sort of thing. And so it gives us a mirror, and so it means it gives you an error check about, am I communicating, if things been communicated clearly? Because everybody has to agree about what's written down. And yes, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be detailed. The whole idea is that you get, so the question I'm trying to get at is what would, for software, what would be in that spec? And maybe spec is like you said has cooties on it.
What I'm getting to is that let's call it a contract instead of a spec. I mean, that's more general.
Okay.
Is that it's not like I would say that you have to write down the assumptions. You have to write down the sort of goals, the measurable end result that you're trying to arrive at. And then, you know, you have to ask questions and answer them until people agree on the set of questions and answers.
So the thing for me, again, it's about, so that line between where it goes from being not something you can build to something you can build. So for software, when do you have what information would you need to know to say I can go off and build this basically, and I'm really happy with with what I'm trying to build. Right. Like, just I mean, again, it could be a lot or little, or just I'm just trying to see if there's a bound. Like, my hypothesis mm-hmm. is that there's a finite list of things. This was from the very first question. Is that
well?
So,
if we're talking about software,
yeah.
then I would say to feel comfortable building it, I would want to have, the list of tests that it has to pass, the software related tests that it has to pass.
Okay.
Which means that we have to understand what data is,
okay. So,
what the ins and outs are.
So this is so that's good.
Mm-hmm,
now
mm-hmm.
now is the data in so but there's a certain like you said there's a churn
mm-hmm,
about stuff.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But some stuff churns slower than others, right? Some of the databases, for example, may not change that often. So I guess the thing
sure.
is that, so yes, I can agree that this the user interface. There's a whole bunch of churn,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
The question. Well, then one question is: yes, you may not know exactly, where the purchase button will be, but you'll know you'll have a purchase button.
Sure, sure.
So that's what I'm talking about. The sort of abstraction or higher level information is you can know. I mean, I did this with one of my projects. We were doing
mm-hmm.
it was a sort of time tracking with a little bit of hardware. And then a big software thing. And what we did was we said, well, what web pages will we have, or what pages
mm-hmm.
will we have on the website? And we mapped out how they were, the links between them, how you get from one to the other. And then we just listed all the fields that were on the on each page, and we didn't talk about formatting. We didn't talk about size
sure.
or
whatever.
Yeah. So would that list of things, is that high enough level, or would that still change a whole bunch? In software?
It depends on if that list of things was the actual list of things. So right now, for example, I'm
mm-hmm.
working with a team on a project where we're trying to classify
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of educational materials.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're not software developers,
mm-hmm.
they're kind of coming up with, these are all the fields we think we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of this very large list of things
mm-hmm.
that some of which are actually going to be fields and some of which are going to be relationships and some of which are not going to be applied in that place at all.
Here we go.
So
let me just jump in there for a second. So one of the high level questions about data is what is a relationship and what is a field? There are two different things,
uh-huh.
right? So
well, it depends, but yes, go ahead.
this is exactly what I'm trying to
yeah.
pull out is that for me, in hardware, I have
sure.
features, behaviors, and interfaces, for my
mm-hmm.
level of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
The features are basically what maps to the actual hardware,
mm-hmm.
like the IC chips and the connections between them. The behaviors map to, the things that happen in time, if you press this button, what happens? And the interfaces are like, does it talk to the internet? Does it text-based and so forth? Listing those out so I know what's going on with that. What I'm interested to see is those high-level objects for web stuff. And one of the big things it seems is that it's about the model is the model of the information you're trying to work with.
The model, there's sort of several components to this. There's
yeah.
if you think about models and how they're displayed,
yeah.
there's a part of the system that like executes rules,
mm-hmm.
that's the controller.
Yeah.
There's a part of the system that stores your information, that's your model,
mm.
and then there's the way that people interact
mm-hmm.
with it, which is your view or your
mm-hmm.
interface,
yeah.
your user interface.
Yes.
That system may also interact through other things, through APIs
mm-hmm.
or with robots and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can break it down in that way.
Mm.
And then some people kind of break it down to like objects, and then they have
mm-hmm.
a frame, like a programming framework that generates all of their persistence
mm-hmm.
data, whatever, in there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, depending on the type of system that you're building, that
mm-hmm.
may not be obvious how to do that. So
this thing, the idea of the sort of I've encountered
mm-hmm.
the model view controller
sure.
sort of idea. So that is. So if you're talking about all these projects that change
mm-hmm,
all the time,
mm-hmm.
thing, the model view controller, it's that's still worthwhile going through that process and figuring out what those actually are.
Sometimes.
So again, it depends on what you're building, and whether the thing is that what we can do now. What are we doing now? Because I could keep on going.
We're about to be at 40 minutes.
Okay, so we'll have to come back and wrap up with this, but. Because this is great.
Yeah.
This is exactly
yeah.
what I'm trying to figure out. Because that high-level stuff. You know, the lean spec is not about it has to be this. It's like it has to be useful is the idea. And the idea is that at this highest level, there's certain things that have to be figured out at this translation level. From you have things that are not something you can build to something you can build. At this translation level, what happens there? And it seems like maybe at different domains, that translation happens at different points, you know. And for software, the translation happens at this sort of one example is this model view controller, you know, is one of this, is way you translate this sort of amorphous stuff that someone wants to do, or sort of maybe human comprehensible, into something that can be then built. So I guess the takeaway question and the thing for you to think about, again, my idea is that there's a finite number of these things that people do that'll cover, you know, most cases. I mean, I won't say 100%. I mean, ideally, you get there. But it's not a huge list. And that's my hypothesis. That's and if it's, and then if you can work at that interface level between the people who are going to be building it and the people who want it to build, or the designers and the whoever else is involved, then you can start seeing again these interactions, because the model is dependent on, you know, of course, what they want to do with it. But you know, the model also, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the design of the page could also affect the model. I don't know.
It can. Yes.
So that's the thing. A designer is not a software person. And so to understand how the design of that page affects what the model in the code will look like, that's very important to figure out.
Well, that's something that again, this design process is iterative.
Yeah,
so like
exactly.
Somebody might write down a bunch of fields. A designer might go and they might make a mock-up of a web page. I might look at it and go, that's never going to work because da 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 da. Or if you want this to show up on this page here, it means that, you know, the back-end system needs to do this.
But the problem
is that that's not something that can easily be contained in a spec.
Well,
it's part of a negotiation of generating the sort of agreement of what the product is.
That's the thing is that I will step back and I say I agree with you completely. The lean spec is an iterative process. And the idea is what you're doing is you're not, you're going through the list of things, and then there'll be things that are unknown, you know, and you go back through and you come back around and say, we have to work these parts out. So it's exactly what you're saying. It is an iterative process is the idea. And I'm very interested. So again, I think we'll do this again.
It's very fun.
Is for you to think about model view controller. Great. What other things that happen just at that interface between this translation from into things that will be built into something that can be understood technically, understood in, you know, and will actually eventually end up in code or in hardware and mechanical.
So I think that we also need to not just look at code and hardware. I think
that's fine.
So in our next conversation, I think we need to talk about design and we can talk about data.
Yeah, perfect, great.
Because
this is great.
Like, data is not the same thing as electricity.
Oh yeah, no, it's not.
And when you talk about we're going to build a website, or we're building a web app, we're going to build a website. Like, sometimes 90% of that work is people copying and pasting text into little boxes. And sometimes 90% of the work and expense of building a website is building those little boxes for people to put the code into.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's kind of like comparing the people who actually do all the content are not the people who do the coding.
Yeah.
And so what you need to provide for them and what you need to provide for developers is a very different kind of information. Like, I think that, you know, one of the main concerns I have about this notion of a unifying spec, which I'm skeptical because I've been through this process several times before, is that people at different levels of this get really hung up on things at other levels. And so, in particular, the scenario is a developer is, like, super concerned about this specific little tiny aspect of their domain. And so they might, like, focus attention on that in a way that it sort of breaks a bunch of things up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's really important. Like, oh, yeah, we've come up with something that's physically impossible. There's no way we're going to get this data through this, mm-hmm. you know, from here to here this quickly so that somebody can see it right away. But other times, like, you know, you wind up with, like, your CEO being concerned that there's 7 versus 8 database fields, and that just wastes everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so this idea of, like, mm-hmm. putting the information at the right level so that it doesn't, like, you know, fester in the in the wrong places.
And so this is exactly what we're trying to do here, you know, is that, yes, there's this hierarchy, right?
Uh-huh.
And that thing that actually ends up breaking, that means that something's physically impossible to do, that is a showstopper. And bringing that to the surface as early as possible in the process is really invaluable, I would think, right? You know.
Yes. Yes.
And so.
If it's relevant.
Well, if it's not relevant, then
you
wind up
point. That it's not relevant.
It's a moot point. So, but then the reverse is also true: is to know that that this 7 versus 8 fields is really low level,
mm-hmm.
and so has no impact on anything else, and it's just sort of. That's also very important to know that that's not important, you know, and to be able to explain that is part of what we're trying to get at.
Yes, so I mean there are tons and tons of different ways of like learning about Agile and Scrum and all of these things like involve taking not just one part of the team but the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you want to learn about Agile. You don't just send your engineers to learn about Agile. You send your product manager, you send your project managers, you send your business people, your marketing folks, so that they all have this like common Scrum-based vocabulary. So that when somebody says, this job is too big to do in one sprint, they understand what that means. And it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they're not getting a firm no, but a let's break this down into smaller parts.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, a lot of this is kind of creating something that... that, like, I think what you're trying to get at is, you know, is it possible for an engineer to kind of come up with this information that will display the project at multiple levels for everybody? And the answer to that question is no. You have to get others involved.
Yeah.
In
so
it.
So no. That,
so
that's
what
so,
my interest is. Like, that's
so,
a product manager's job.
So that's the thing is that for me, no. That's completely
that's
not what I'm
trying
going
to do. Okay.
What I'm going is, that for me, I work as a consultant.
Yeah.
That means
I'm
working directly with clients, and my job at that moment is to figure out what they want.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so this is the Lean Spec was created, this whole process was created because I saw there's this moment where I saw a bunch of projects when I was in my consulting job, you know, when the company. Where they would get this little list of here's what we want. They would go away for 6 weeks and come back and say, here's what you wanted. And they said, that's not what I wanted. And so this is about not about the engineer making everything and doing everything for everybody. It's about a communication process.
Okay.
Part of this thing is about what the Lean Spec has done for me is it means that you have almost the most communication between you and your client or your right at the beginning of the project.
Mm-hmm. And that's when it's really the most important.
Exactly.
And like, when you're at the beginning of the project and you can talk to everybody, so you can find out like all these different things.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think that this idea of it being a spec is kind of, that word doesn't jibe, I think, with what you're trying to do. Let's think about that because when people get work on spec, it means that they receive a list of things to do, and then they do that thing, and then they send it back. So, and that has implications that, like, I'm fighting against them because I'm trying to, like, hear what you're saying, and yet, like, they use
the
word that, like...
Is there a better word?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I think, I mean,
you
know, I don't know.
That's fine. We can, the name is, you know...
But that's key because we want to open the conversation, not... shut down with presuppositions.
And we've had issues already with, I mean, the languaging stuff.
Right.
And so people have really visceral reactions to
words.
Yes. And but we have to choose something. So we're calling it this.
No, I think it's good. I think it's good. And it's also like good to test it.
Yeah.
Like to sort of say what it is not as well as what it is.
And so, great. So, I mean, you should, think about that as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes.
You know, what we're trying, but again, this thing is that this is what's worked for me.
Sure.
And I've done with many clients, and it's all been very, like, they think this is great. It's a very good experience because it's a facilitation.
Yes.
As opposed to being commanding or anything like that.
Yeah, like, and as a tool, and using anything, like any sort of process like this as a way to ask questions for a consultant is super important because you don't really know, unless you've worked with this organization before, you don't know what their internal communication process is. You don't know what their dysfunctions are. You know, every organization has, you know, particular ways in which things happen and who communicates with what and then who makes decisions. And as a consultant, like, when I go in, I don't just go in there expecting them to write some software.
Yeah.
That inevitably happens, but 90% of the work I do is to really help people understand each other so that we write less code but get more done.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's the intention of
I call it sort of like, you know, product level refactoring, basically. You know,
so,
you can simplify the product, you can simplify what you're doing if you can work at this high level. And
so maybe, like, what you can think about is there's a ton of different, like, techniques that are not necessarily processes, but like card sorting exercises, like diagramming, like these kinds of things that are part of other processes or that people do that could be tools for you to bring out. Because if you're trying to work with an organization that thinks a certain way, like they only communicate in PowerPoints. So then how do you make your spec work with that?
Yeah.
You know, if you make this a tool set that you can deploy different kinds of things based on the needs of your audience.
We need to call it a process. The original word that I used was product definition.
Sure. That's a pretty good.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that because it seems more high level.
Yeah.
Like, spec seems to be very too low level.
Okay.
Too low level.
So product definition was what I first, because it's not, it's, you know, people again have different connotations about definition and stuff. And product is also, you know, more amorphous. But that's what I originally called it because, again, you're defining what you're building.
Yes.
And then you go and build it, you know. And so, okay, well let's get to
UX people and business people went crazy over that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it also, like, there's also
we're
out of time, so, like,
thank you so much for
being
with us.
This is great. I'll have luck, you know, we'll do it again.
Please come back.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Cindy F. Solomon signing off. We have been recording at the Port Workspaces studio in Oakland, and Anka runs Techlimino, which has been incubating both the Engineering Accelerator and Startup Product Academy.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay.
Have a great week.
You too.